It says fame to detect. To detect.
Good morning once more, honorable members, delegation from the provincial government of Northwest, the officials from government, and everyone that is present in the meeting. Chair is still experiencing connectivity challenges and has requested that we start with the meeting. He will join as soon as he has dealt with the challenges. So I think now we can start with our meeting. Firstly, I will request Shireen to share the agenda for today's meeting so that we can get it adopted and be able to start formally with our meeting. Shireen, can you please share the agenda?
Good morning, Whip.
Good morning, Chair. Yeah, I was just explaining, Chair. Sorry, Chair, to interject you. Yeah, I was just explaining that you had a connectivity challenges. So now you are here. We have not yet started. We're only about to select the agenda so that it can be adopted.
Oh, okay.
Nothing that has been made done so far.
That's why I'm calling you. I thought you must have started. Let me apologize first for this technical glitch. It was not even a problem. I lost my phone, and I think there's some a problem between myself and the and Parliament. We are sorting out that. Good morning, first to honorable members of the portfolio committee and our guests.
Morning, Chair. Morning. Morning, Chair.
Morning. Can you move your laptop towards you?
Towards me?
Yes, yes. And then, yes, like that. Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you very much. Now let me greet our guests from the Northwest Province. I was informed that the leader of the delegation is MEC Rocho and a team of MECs. I wouldn't want to get into their space to say who is there and who is not there. Maybe let me start by asking for apologies, our secretary.
Good morning, everybody. We've received apologies from the minister, the two deputy ministers, first PG, and the premier. They're all attending the extended cabinet Lokotla. The MECs also. Also informed us that MEC...
But we cannot spot. Where is that thing?
Delegation from the Northwest. And Mr. Jurgen Teysel, the acting head of the National Disaster Management Center, will be leading the delegation from DCOG side. Thank you, Chairperson. And we also do forum a quorum in the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we now properly ask? No, let me start with the honorable members. If there's any apology from honorable members, I see the hand of honorable Khalifi.
Yes, good morning, Chair and colleagues. Chair, at 9:30 on leave.
Can I leave the meeting? I just need to restart it.
Chair, there is someone called Kunene.
Yes, I can see. I think we have noted your apology, and I think she might have heard you as well.
No, I was not done, Chair. I was saying that at 9:30 I'm leaving to attend SCOPA, but I didn't hear the secretary to the committee because Nene was disturbing. I didn't hear who is not going to be able to attend and who is here from the Northwest team.
No, we're still going to go to them. Besides the apology made by the secretary, I will still allow the leader of the delegation to properly introduce the delegation and possible if there are any further apologies. Honorable Rosho, MEC for finance.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Let me also appreciate this time to introduce the members of EXCO who form part of the provincial delegation to appear before this portfolio committee. My name is Mutlali Pula Hosho. I'm the MEC for Finance, and I'm also leader of government business. So I am representing, the Premier has mandated that I lead the delegation for this session. And with me in the delegation, we have a MEC for local government, MEC for cooperative governance, women settlement and traditional affairs, MEC Lena Micha. And then we also have the MEC for health, who was our leader in terms of a COVID-19 response, our champion or our ambassador, MEC Madoda Sambata. We also have MEC for social development and MEC Buitumelo Milwa, who's part of the delegation, and the MEC for education, MEC Wendy Mapifo Matemela. And so that is the delegation, and we are also accompanied by the HODs of the departments for finance, provincial treasury, as well as health, education, and social development and cooperative governance and women settlement and traditional affairs. Those are the MECs that are with us together with their HODs. Thank you, Chair. That's the team that has that is part of the Northwest government.
Maybe I should have explained that the session itself is about it's a follow-up on the last briefing that you gave to the Portfolio Committee on the 26th of August, 2021. I was not there then. So, but the decision that was taken by the committee as after that real-time audit was to follow up on this kind of session where we have the provincial government. We also anticipated later that municipalities as well, where there were findings by the Auditor General and where there were actions expected from all those who were affected. So this is a kind of meeting. So it's a briefing session by the provincial government. I was informed there are apologies from municipalities, or it was a short notice to invite them. Then there's a promise that will follow up on that. So what we have, honorable members, as an agenda item is the briefing by the Northwest provincial government in relation to that real-time audit and
recording in progress
that might have been taken following that. I would I as a Democrat, I would want somebody to agree that we adopt that this is the only item we have before we hand over to the Northwest. Any member from the Portfolio Committee, as I'm indicating, on the 26th of October was not there when you were last briefed by the Northwest. Any member who can propose that we accept the agenda and proceed as it is?
I so propose, Chair.
Honorable Mbumza, noted. Any
second? I support, Chair.
Supported. Northwest, I was trying to make you feel comfortable and settled. as you are going to take us through. I've noted the MECs who are here, and I can imagine that you are settled now. I've apologized, members. No, I never start a meeting 1 minute after time. This time it should have been about 10 past. So my greatest apology. Can I hand over to you, MEC Khosho?
It's Khosho, Honorable Chair.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, thanks. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Pasa. And we really appreciate for welcoming us as the Northwest delegation. And once more, let me acknowledge the members of the portfolio committee, led by yourself and members in this August House, and also acknowledge my colleagues in the Executive Council who are part of the delegation, and also administrative team, both at the National Assembly for the Portfolio Committee as well as for the provincial government. And once more, good morning. So I think our presentation is structured in, I will give the background in terms of the adjustment of the 2021 provincial framework, the special adjustment allocation for 2020-2021, and as well the COVID expenditure for both 2020-2021 as well as 2021-2022 financial years. And it's an expenditure of 2 years, and then support by a provincial treasurer on the management of COVID-19 funds, and also support to municipalities to implement the AG recommendations by the Auditor General. What I'll do, and we'll have the closing remarks, what I'll do, Chair, I'll just run through the highlights in terms of our presentation, because it's a long presentation, and we'll get to the depth of the support on local government, especially around the municipalities that the last engagement with the portfolio committee were discussed. And as we are aware, honorable members, that in response and of the coronavirus outbreak proclamation, there was a proclamation on the national disaster, and government had to quickly respond to cap the spread of the pandemic and save a number of lives. And given the limitation of resources as a country, we need to respond to the outbreak, and we had to do that through directing resources and reprioritizing budgets to ensure that they are focused. We have deliberate and focused measures in combating and mitigating the impact of the country's economy. So we had to respond to that. And as we all know, that our president, head of state, did pronounce that the COVID-19 response package should be at around 500 billion, and which was partly funded through reprioritization of the 2020-21 financial year. We can recall, honorable members, we had already tabled our budgets at the time, and then whereby provinces had to contribute the 30 billion thereof. That, and in terms of reprioritization thereof, as the Northwest, we had to get back to our budget and target items within goods and services that were mainly affected by COVID-19 restrictions. And such items were your traveling, your subsistence, your venues and facilities, accommodation that we had to look at, because it was lockdown. So such budget were not going to be utilized. And in addition, the allocations for a filling of positions and the implementation of some infrastructure projects that could, where we deferred them as a result of the period that we're in, and we redirected such budget to the COVID-19 funding. In relation to the PPEs, honorable members, National Treasury did identify three main risks. Amongst such, namely, is panic buying, price escalation, possible compromise on the quality of products, as well as uncertainty with regards to the security of supply of goods and services. And in mitigating such risks, National Treasury issued Instruction Note 8 of 2019-2020, where emergency procurement in response to national state disaster was issued, and which focused on making the following provisions for procurement of PPEs among statewide institutions may procure COVID-19 items from national transversal contracts, RT 76, where institutions will have an existing contract on item listed in Note 8, department may procure COVID items from such agreements. And also institution may approach other suppliers to obtain quotes and may procure from such on condition that items are to be specified as determined by the National Department of Health. Prices are equal or lower than the prices in Annexa A, and the supply is registered in the central supplier database. If we can just move, I think I'm not just moving the slide. We can move to slide 9 because that's where I am. I'm trying to also cover ground in terms of as I speak through the presentation. And following the pronouncement of the 500 billion COVID-19 fund, the Minister of Finance did table the supplementary budget on the 24th of June 2020, in line with the established share formula. And the Northwest province was also expected, all provinces were expected to do that. And in the contribution of the Northwest was 2.1 billion as a contribution toward the COVID-19 interventions offered to form that comprehensive or consolidated 30 billion. And the provincial adjustment budget on our members was tabled on the 25th July 2020. All departmental budgets, including the provincial legislature, had to be accepted. The Department of Health were revised downwards, including the legislature. We covered the legislature as we revised the budget and all departments, in exception of the Department of Health. And the intention was to ensure that we protect the Health Department budget, but also we reinforce it and to fund the COVID-19 provincial plan. And the reprioritization of the equitable share generated a savings of about 1.4 billion and was redirected to COVID-19 response plan. Changes were implemented also to the conditional grants, which included additions in year suspensions and in-year suspension in plans expenditure and reprioritization. And the grants were also repurposed in the process. If we can maybe move to the next slide in terms of the allocations for the various departments, in terms of Department of Health, was at the forefront, like I've indicated, to lead the process in combating the pandemic. And then amount of 1.6 billion consisting of additional funds to equitable share of 1.1 billion, and then 175.1 million additional funds for the COVID-19 component within the HIV, the TB, malaria, and community outreach grant, and 18.5 million of disaster relief grant for COVID-19 and the 399 internal departmental reprioritization. So health had to also reprioritize its budget in that context, and also with the additional funds that were received from national. The Department of Arts and Culture and Department of Arts, Culture, Sports and Recreation was also allocated about the amount of 15 million to help with the cost of running facilities that were used as quarantine sites. The Department of Economic Development was also an additional, was given additional 50 million. And this was intervention also to support the quarantine sites, as we know that economic development also have facilities through the tourism component, whereby we took advantage of that as provincial government in responding to quarantine sites to maximize the support that we'd want to do to various beneficiaries in the province. The Department of Education was allocated 130 million. As part of the response in the intervention, COVID-19 intervention plan. And furthermore, the grant framework of education infrastructure grant was also amended to allow the department to use allocated funds for COVID-19 interventions. And the Department of Social Development received the 60 million for the social relief distress program to respond to the challenges of disasters, extreme poverty and destitute families. During the period, and that also made provision for food parcels, for cook meals, provision of blankets, sanitary dignity pads, and so a number of interventions were also run through campaigning and advocacy within led by social development, especially also on areas of gender-based violence as well. So there were a number of response plans that were driven from a social development point of view. And also the early childhood development grant was also reprioritized to deal with intervention plans for ECD SIs. So in terms of the expenditure to this by the period of 2021 of the budget of the 1.6 billion, we can confirm that if you go to slide 16, okay, we can confirm that we were able to spend the money up to 95% during the 2020-2021 financial year. We were able to spend up to 95% of the allocated budget in responding to COVID-19 response plan. And Honorable Chairperson, as at the 31st March 2022, the province spent was at 1.6 billion, which was 1.6 billion, which is around 145% against the budget of 1.1 billion. The expenditure was mainly driven by DDEC, education, social development, and health consumed 88.39% of total expenditure. Similar to the 2021 financial year, expenditure has been largely consumed by goods and services and compensation of employees. So these are part of the cost drivers from internal staff as and when we were responding also to the public service regulation directives in making sure that as and when officials were coming back to work, and then were able also to respond into that respect. I want to get straight to the municipalities on the work that we have done with the municipalities, Honorable Chair, so that as the relevant portfolio committee are also being able to will be also be taken on board. We have had we have engaged on virtual platforms to assess the impact of COVID-19 on the operations of municipalities. And the key issues that we focused on was that the budget of 2019-2020 allocations to respond to the COVID-19 state of disaster. Procurement processes also followed to procure COVID-19 goods and services. And also making sure that there's a business continuity amongst most of our municipalities. And the National Treasury's Office, the Chief Procurement Officer, they did issue an instruction note number 11 and MFMA Circular 105 of 2021, which introduced mandatory reporting requirements for COVID-19 transactions. And Provincial Treasury developed and issued a reporting template to be used by all municipalities in the province for reporting weekly and monthly expenditure on COVID-19, which required municipalities to indicate the description of items that they have purchased, the quantity thereof, the total value of items purchased, and the procurement method used by the municipalities. And from our side, we also provided guidance to municipalities on how to report on the COVID-19 specific funding allocation and expenditure thereof. And there was a monitoring and reporting template, which was also where municipalities had to report also on issues of non-compliance and on how have they fared thus far in terms of responding to the COVID-19 and to a pandemic. National Treasury also issued a circular 9, M-Square circular 9, which guides municipalities to identify and report on COVID-19 expenditure and related projects. So they were also expected to that. Provincial Treasury, of course, we're responding, also reporting to X from time to time in supporting municipalities, and also took them through a process of sort of, as we can say, the additional training so that they're able to prepare their special adjustment to reprioritize the 2020-21 budget to respond to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. So that training is still continuous even in the current new administration. We have proceeded to do that. We've already done that to MPEC chairpersons, MMCs of finance, at the level of councillors. So we have a chair provided the support. What I would want, chair, if you allow me, with the last minute that is left, just to give to the leadership how we have ensured that municipalities respond to the Auditor General's findings in terms of their post-audit action plans, in terms of the support. If you allow me, Chair, I would request that if the SG is on our SG is on board, then we can give that report, especially with your JB Max municipality, as well as Ngaka Modirimolema municipalities, where there were findings as per IGAG directive. And we can give the report on issues of consequence management, as well as a continuous investigation in terms of the SIU. We can be able to give that. Lastly, Chair, the findings on provincial departments. I know that members may, their focus because of the relevance of the portfolio committees on local government. We have also from the department side, it's only education and health that had findings. However, there's been consequence management in the Department of Education, as well as the Department of Health, and the post-audit action plans have been given. We are working very closely together as provincial treasurer to provide that support, and matters are still, others are still under investigation, but education has acted on a number of irregularities in terms of suspensions. There has been that report. So at local government level as well, there is a progress that has been registered, especially in JB Max, with the conduct of the MM and the CFO. I would, if you allow me, Chair, I would request that I just allow the HOD just to give further details and specifics in that regard, especially in the current new administration. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Actually, that is where we should be interested. It's on the consequences management, because we have received a report from the SIU, from the Hawks. They are all blaming government when it comes to issues of misconduct as people who are not acting. So I'm sure all members are interested in that. So let's allow those HODs to elaborate on that.
No, thank you, Chair. HOD Finance, can you please come in? Rakunene.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to run through the few slides quickly. The first one is on the municipalities.
Yes, we can see you now.
Oh, no, thank you, Chairperson. I think the slides moved. I think we are starting with slide number 26, and like you was projecting the presentation, Chair. It is on JB Max, specifically issues were raised of JB Max and Ngaka Modirimolema. We are bringing to attention of the committee that with regard to JB Max, there were issues that were raised in relation to improper implementation of MSCOA and the excessive price paid for COVID-19. As MEC has indicated, is that we have for in relation to MSCOA, we have provided support to the municipality in terms of the training. However, with regard to JB Max specifically, we have supported the municipality in terms of implementation of consequence management, in particular with relation to the municipal manager and the CFO. The next slide also talks to JB Max, which is slide number 27, but here it talks to the poor quality COVID-19 infrastructure related goods. As part of the initial one, which I've reflected in terms of, they are also proceeding with consequence management in terms of disciplinary hearings with regard to the affected officials. Delays in the completion to inadequate contact management. We have prioritized the municipality for cost and reimbursement to ensure that grants are properly utilized and verification of work before payment is made.
We can't hear you now. Okay.
Chairperson, I was saying with regard to Ngaka Modiri Molema, there were two issues raised, poor quality workmanship and spending on COVID-19. We are reporting that the process of the investigation is ongoing in terms of SIU. PT would be providing support with regard to the implementation of consequence management. The Office of the Auditor General has also issued a material irregularity, and the process is that the final assessment to issue the certificate of debt. The municipality was also prioritized for cost reimbursement to ensure grants are properly utilized and verification of work before the payment is made to service providers for MIG. That is a similar response in terms of support provided for in terms of spending on COVID-19 funding for non-COVID-19 purposes. That is in relation to the two municipalities, and as the chairperson has indicated earlier, that the municipality would also be given an opportunity to expand on what we have approved the committee. With regard to departments, as indicated by the MEC chairperson, that they are also supporting a presentation by specifically the Department of Education, the Department of Health, and the Department of Social Development in terms of what they are doing in relation to issues raised by the AG. Broadly speaking, is that all the departments are currently implementing consequence management in terms of specific areas that have been identified, and affected officials are also being taken through in terms of different processes and different stages in terms of each department. However, I'm going to just summarize what we are doing as provincial treasury to support the department in the implementation of not only consequence management and also issues raised by the AG. Largely, we are assisting the implementation of the post-audit action plan. We have also developed a SHEP to upload the findings and modification of the actual implementation of the recommendations by both the AG, the SIU. In other words, we will be following it up with the departments in terms of ensuring that there is full implementation of the recommendations and findings. However, I need to indicate, Chair, that materially there were not many issues raised by the two in relation to the two departments, except what we have indicated in terms of slide number 29, education in terms of processes were implemented to determine the PPE, inconsistency in terms of how the PPE were distributed, substandard quality of PPE, and the department did not include the minimum threshold for local content as the evaluation. And as I have said, is that the recommendations are currently being implemented by the department, including consequence management, which process is underway. With regard to health, there were three issues which were raised. PP items not ordered. There were delay in delivering of orders related to PPE and the limited security controls of bulk storage. And we are doing the same in terms of ensuring that there is a post-audit action plan to ensure that the recommendations and the findings from the AG are implemented. B is that we have developed a SharePoint system to upload the findings and monitor them regularly. And the last part, it will be on the conducting an independent verification of the actual implementations of the findings and the recommendations. And the last three departments that I just want to speak to, Chair, because they were part of the departments that were invited for the meeting. With regard to human settlement, there were no material findings specifically for the Northwest Department of Human Settlement in the three reports that have been mentioned. As a result, there would not be any recommendations and support provided other than what we are doing as part of the audit and the post-audit action. But the second one is social development. No material findings specifically for the Northwest Department of Social in three areas of the reports. And that is the same with regard to recommendation. Office of the Premier, that is the same. And the last part, Chair, is the part that I think MEC Khosho would then speak to in terms of concluding the remarks. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Khosho.
No, thank you very much, Chair, for just to give the parting shot in terms of concluding remarks. Honorable members, there was a compelling need to respond to the devastating impact of COVID-19. Hence, we had a plan, and we had to revise the budget as well as table the special adjustment budget. Another time, the province was experiencing the peak in terms of number of cases reported daily, which requires strategic and prompt response from government to save lives. And we are grateful of how the head of government, the premier, as well as the MC for health were able to drive this process through the command council. And the identified funds demonstrated the provincial government's resolve to cap the spread of the coronavirus and flatten the curve. We were able also to make sure that during vaccination to massify the vaccine program as well. And in addition to reprioritizing to the provincial COVID-19 response plan, departments further reprioritized for internal COVID-19 intervention and preventative measures, especially around Department of Education, as well as while learners were now going back to school. I think there was a lot of work that was done around the Department of Education in that respect, of course, supported by Department of Health. And the impact of COVID-19 to the provincial budget was in excess of 3 billion, considering reprioritization of internal departmental intervention and the repurposing of conditional grants, as I did indicate, which is the repurposing was around, I think, 500 million. It was also critical to ensure value for money as the COVID-19 funds were utilized and departments were requested to report biweekly on the COVID-19 and spending, which I must indicate, Chair, that we also were able, as part of being transparent as provincial government, we also were publishing the expenditure items per department in terms of procurement and compliance in line with the instruction note. On that note, Chair, honorable members, let me thank you for this opportunity. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. One for the presentations, and maybe I should have started to say thank you for coming, because if you are not here, you will not be able to make the presentations, and we'll have nobody to interact with as members of the portfolio committee. As you might be aware, we understand how government is structured. We are members of parliament of this portfolio committee, and generally we are representatives of the people, and our main focus is always to ask questions on their behalf. When I say on their behalf, specifically here we're talking about Northwest. And we are not the only ones who ask questions. We also know that as MECs, first you are public representatives as well. So I will now allow members to engage with the presentation, of course, with the previous experiences. So like I've indicated, I just came after you came for the first time. So I'll take hands as they come. I see the first hand is Honorable Groenewald, that's number one. The next one is Honorable Caba Ntshaba. Number three is Honorable Khanya Xeza. Number four, Honorable Matumba. Number five, Honorable Msimango. For now, I have those hands. They'll follow in that order. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, thank you for the department for the presentation. I'm going to be quick. I just want to ask, we've talked about consequent management. I want to ask the department if they can compile a report for us in terms of what consequent management has been taken and in terms of what charges has been laid by the SIU specifically, so that we can, as a community, as a committee, also be enlightened into which cases has been brought to the SIU, when we meet with the SIU, and what consequent management has been taken. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Number two.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. Chairperson, my question network yam get che ube undixolele ngilangkhona ngisese nafali njengoba bisine finira. But my question is on the city of Mahlosana, Chair. I don't know whether sesifikile lapho or lisiyayiyeka leyo siqhubekeka ngeka MEC. Because I have many questions here, but I was speaking to the issue of Mahlosana, Chair.
I may not know, Honorable.
Hello.
Until we hear you.
Hello.
Hello. Can you are free to
yes,
say?
Yes, I hear you now.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, Chair. Chairperson, on the issue of Mahlosana, in the referral to the portfolio committee on the 7th May 2021 during the visit, oversight of the committee visit, the Northwest city of Mahlosana indicated that the SIU has finished it with a forensic report regarding the COVID-19 PPE procurement in the municipality, Chair. My question, Chair, has the municipality acted on this report? If so, what have been the outcome of it? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Number three.
No, thank very much, Chair, for the opportunity here. We herein submit some questions of interest to the Department of Health. So they speak on slide 12, Chair, on COVID interventions, and encompasses issues of personal protective equipment, on health education, screening, and management. I just wanted to ask, because I'm interested, because the presenter has just spoken to a new concept of panic buying, whether panic buying itself is covered in the legislation or not, or what constitutes the panic buying, because it's a new concept for me, Chair. I'm just really interested, apart from semantics, that I'm focusing on those issues. But can they explain that one as a start? And then social development has spent 40 million in slide 15 for social relief of distress program to respond to challenges of the disaster. This program includes food parcels, cooked meals, blankets, sanitary dignity packs, another new concept. We normally call it sanitary towels, Chair, but I think it's a proper way of putting it. But having said that, from which service providers were these items sourced? And to what extent has the department put sustainable measures or initiatives to ensure that these as they put them, sanitary dignity packs are located in all public spaces because it's not an event that warrants expenditure at a particular time. It's a question of human dignity and restoration of that dignity. So what constitutes sustainable measures to ensure that these are found as emanating from this particular program? These are found in public spaces, which, like condoms, Chair, you can find them anywhere. So I just want to ask that in relation to that. Then I have a last question pertaining to health again. There is a clinic, Chair, that is newly built and sponsored by the mine in the village called Mukhwalane in Moses Makota. The clinic is finished and just needs to be handed over to the community, but that cannot happen as all has stalled by a transformer as Eskom seeks to payment before installing. The contractor wants to do final connection so that he hands over the clinic, and he says he can't because of the said transformer, and he fears the clinic will end up being vandalized. And this clinic, being a clinic built to serve the poor, Chair, but it's now a white elephant. What action has the department taken to ensure that this clinic is handed over to the community and the installation of electricity is done there? I hear that they are speaking about every measure that they put in place, but as Honorable Khunebal has rightfully put it, we need which cases. Chair, just lastly, there is a question of Section 86 of the PFMA, which says that an accounting officer is guilty of an offense and liable on conviction to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years. Now, there is a question of recycling of the MMs in terms of administration in that province. And Section 100 of the Constitution was implemented there. And we can't locate, Chair, what a direct impact does these interventions seek to achieve in terms of, or what have they done in terms of ensuring the change of lives for the people, and Chair, to get MMs recycled, Chair, in the Section 139 intervention disguised as support, is disingenuous. A mayor of Lee Kwatiemane hiring an expensive car against the council policies to the tune of 120,000. We're not getting them to on the consequence management. 120,000 per month at it, and no service delivery for our people. And then municipalities characterized by political and administrative instability. Are there, Chairperson, like Makwasi Hill, Kagisano local municipality, Mamusa, Disobota, and so forth? And this exacerbates factionalism and interference by provincial leadership, which causes, there is a municipality there that has two municipal managers and two CFOs, and that is a clear indication of instability in the province. And here, Section 86 of the Constitution does speak to what should be, I'm sorry, of the PFMA, does speak to what should happen there. And the other issues, I will follow them up, Chair, because I'm done for now. Thank you very much. Hello.
Number four.
No, thank you, Chair. Greetings, Chairperson. Chair, from page 26 to page 28, we don't have a report there. This report doesn't give us a clear picture for us to do oversight on this report. And the other thing that I'm worried about, Chair, is that I think provinces think that consequences management only apply to management only, but they don't give us a report on Section 32 of Municipal Financial Management Act, because that act is clear. Section 32, subsection 1A, is very much clear. It says political office bearers are liable for unauthorized expenditure. So why is it that the liability of unauthorized expenditure goes to management only when it comes to consequences management? Because the act is clear. They must tell us, what is it that management did to avoid UIF? We don't have that. We are being told consequences management on management. Something that I don't understand, why every time when they come here, they only go for management and run away from politicians. Politicians who created a conducive ground for corruption to take place. And here you have an act that is clear, that states that without limiting the liability in terms of common law and legislation, this is what must happen. So you don't tell us only of what is happening with SIU. What are you doing as council? Because Section 32, subsection 6 is clear. MM can report the matter to the police. Subsection 7, the council can report the matter to the police. Why is it that SIU must come and investigate and act when you are having mechanisms and structures that must deal with UIF in the municipality? Those structures do nothing, and no consequences management on those structures. What happened to oversight committees? What oversight did they do? Failure to do oversight, what happened to them? So that is what we want to know here. What is worse, Chair? We are sitting here, Ngaka Modiri Molema, they are not here. They say it's short notice. What kind of short notice is it on virtual meeting? Because they know there are so many problems in Ngaka Modiri Molema municipality to a point where the mayor there went to host a media briefing. And that media briefing was formed by workers who were protesting against him and his team. So we were expecting them to come here and answer questions, because there is a serious problem in that municipality that must be addressed. So, Chair, what I want to get from the presenters is that, what consequences management are they taking against political office bearers on UIF that was incurred by the municipality? And in accordance with Section 32, subsection 2, how much did they recover so far from unauthorized, irregular, or fruitless and wasteful expenditure? Because that is part of consequences management. Because you know, Chair, what they do, these people with consequences management, they will demote this one from this position or move this one from this municipality to another municipality. And the municipality do not recover anything in terms of what was lost. So I'm more interested in consequences management that took place in political office bearers in accordance with Section 32, Subsection 1, Paragraph 8. Thank you, Chair.
Number 5.
Thank you very much, Chair. I believe I'm audible enough.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Chair, I want to start by J.B. Marx. Okay, maybe let me start by Ngakamudi Rimlemo, by saying one, it is unacceptable that, it is disappointing that they are not here as the municipality, citing that it is short notice. For me, that is disappointing, but two, it is unacceptable. I think as this committee, Chair, we need to find a way of showing that we are not a committee that is there for the sake of, for the sake of being there. There is something that needs to happen in order for municipalities to begin to take us serious, because you can't say it is short notice. Short notice, I mean, of what? Of a virtual meeting. I mean, surely then it tells you that there is something beyond that they're not explaining to us. But of course, I think that we'll have to leave that to you to make a determination to say what exactly are we going to do in order to make sure that this committee begins to have teeth to be able to bite as and when we need to bite. On the same municipality, there is an AG report, Chair, that speaks about 2.7 million expenditure, which was spent on the guest house accommodation during level 5 lockdown of essential workers. And it goes further by saying that expenditure was unnecessary, and the municipality should have done things in a different way. I need an explanation around this matter to say, what is it that has been done in order for one to whether the municipality can be able to see that this was unnecessary expenditure, or is there any explanation that they can give to us? Which justify this particular expenditure, because you can't spend 2.7 million on guest house and we just keep quiet like as if nothing has happened. Surely there must be consequences that comes after this. Somebody should be able to account for this. On JB Marx, the municipality was found to have made payment of 6 million without delivery notes or proof that the municipality even delivered those services. Now, I also want to check the status of this matter. How far? What has happened? Is there anything that you can report around this matter? But in all, Chair, as a last maybe comment would be to say, it looks like as if consequence management in the province of the Northwest seems to be moving at the snail pace, and there are cases that have been reported. Can they give us a reflection of anyone that has been suspended, anyone that that has been taken to the relevant authorities to account on this? Because we can't be sitting here. The last time when I look at the report, you reported that you are still investigating some of these cases So surely by now, you can't be, I mean, COVID-19 happened 2 years ago. Surely by now, you should be saying to us, these are the outcomes. This is the person that has been fired. This is the person, you know, give us an hour, because we need to show that we are fighting this scourge of corruption and unnecessary expenditure in our government. So I'm saying, just give us a reflection so that we are able to understand that you are indeed serious about fighting corruption. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Before I take the last two hands, I've noted Honorable Buthelezi and Honorable Direko. But before I do that, let me acknowledge that I'm informed that the chairperson of the Provincial Portfolio Committee, Mr. Aaron Motswana, and other members of the committee are part of this meeting. So let me welcome them. Our meetings are open, and especially as I indicated earlier, that generally all those who have been elected by people raising their hands are public representatives. Our work is almost similar, except that it might be classified differently in terms of the constitution. But let me acknowledge that and indicate to members that you also have this members from the province portfolio committee. As you speak, let me allow Honorable Buthelezi.
Thank you, Chair. Considering that the budgets of various departments in the province were reprioritized to address the sudden needs that were caused by COVID-19, what plans were put in place to address the departments that were financially limited in 2020-2021? And has the AG been following up on the implementation of the recommendations that have been made to the respective municipalities, considering the history of mismanaging funds? How often will the internal audit units at these municipalities be reporting on these issues? My last one, Chair, what additional accountability measures did the provincial treasury put in place besides non-compliance letters to ensure that municipalities report back on weekly and monthly COVID-19 related expenditures? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Direko.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also acknowledge the presentation that has been made. However, Chair, I have a lot of concerns about this presentation because NorthWest is not appearing in the Portfolio Committee for the first time. We met with them, last day or the other year. And on their presentation at that time, we raised some concerns to say, when you come to the Portfolio Committee, please try to give us all the details so that we can understand exactly how the situation is. So I'm supporting what Honorable Msimango is saying. When you come to the Portfolio Committee, we want all the details, all the final details, so that we can understand the stage that they are in now. And when they did their presentation, they will just indicate that support provided is consequence management. Yes, we understand it's consequence management, but can you give us a brief detailed report of that consequence management? We want to understand, when we speak about JV Max, this was the unauthorized expenditure, or this was the expenditure that is in question. This is the action that has been taken. We want to know how many cases that have been reported, how many officials that have been suspended or dismissed, how much has been recovered if there are allegations of corruption. So that's what we want in terms of consequence management. Don't just give it as a consequence management, but go into detail so that we can see and understand the actions that have been taken. Because sometimes you'll see that there's a consequence management. On a big expenditure, they just sent a person to a disciplinary hearing. Nothing has been reported to the relevant authority. So we want a detailed report of all the action that has been taken, where there are allegations of corruption, mismanagement, or anything that is not properly done within the framework of the law. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. That concludes. Oh, I see Honorable Mbumza.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning to you, Chair, Honorable Members, and the MECs and the officials. Chair, mine would be going to the MEC for Treasury, Provincial Treasury, and the COCTA, whether is it COCTA or COCTA. Chair, the Municipal Finance Management provides for rigorous reporting and an early warning system through the reports that are provided to the municipality and to the provincial treasurer and COCTA. Does the COCTA in the province as well as treasury have the monitoring capability so that they are in a position to exercise the provision in law for an early warning system so that intervention could be quickly revoked in order to assist through Section 154, where municipalities' financial positions are regressing? If that capability does exist, why is it that we have so many regularities that are committed by municipalities under their watch? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I suspect honorable members from the province, you have been taking notes, and we have a right to ask any question and expect a response, but I'm sure out of all this, you can pick a sense that begins to say we are following up on the findings by the Auditor General and the report that we received from the law enforcement agencies. They came to the committee, reported about all this real-time audit. So hence the talk of specifics and specific action. So one would suggest, as you respond to the questions as they were raised, where it is possible, let's get to those specifics. If it is not possible, let's get an indication as to what can be done. I would hand over to you, Honorable MEC for Provincial Treasury, as the leader of the delegation. Then you'll see how you allocate the team as to how they respond. Over to you, Honorable MEC.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Khasa. Khasa, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, and once more appreciate the questions that have been asked. And also, Chair, just allow me also to acknowledge the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on COCTA, and also responsible for Treasury and Premier's Office, Honorable Motswana, with the members of the Portfolio Committee. Chair, if you allow me, I will invite the MECs, relevant MECs. I will start first with MEC Sambata, MEC for Health. He will come in to respond on issues of health, including the Mokgalaneng clinic that, and I think Honorable Kreza has spoken about, so that he's able to give feedback and update the Portfolio Committee in that respect. But I'll allow Honorable Sambata to be the first one, and he'll then be followed by Honorable Milwa, where issues of dignitary sanitary pads and how we've provided support and response in during the COVID-19, and also the status quo currently. I think MEC Mwila will be able to give that that feedback. There was nothing from education. However, I think Honorable Groenewald broadly has given as us that we get to specifics, and as well as Honorable Direko. We have submitted the addendums in that respect, Honorable Chair, and then we'll invite MECs also to cover that in terms of consequence management as and when they respond. And MEC Matemela for Education will deal with that, because they've gone into the details as to the processes that they've been followed in terms of holding officials also accountable. And MEC Micha for COGSTA will also respond on the issues around the local government, but together with MEC myself, will be able to respond. I'll provide support to that, but also from our side as provincial treasurer, the support that we have provided. So I'll be the last one as I wrap up in terms of responses. And MECs will come. I'll invite MECs in that order. MEC Sambata. MEC for Health. I know he's on the platform. Mukudu.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khosho, the LGB. In terms of the Department of Health, the Mogalaneng Clinic, Lintsi Clinic, is done by Siyanda Bagatla. And there's a team between the Department of Health and Siyanda Bagatla. The transformer got blown when it was installed. And the advice from ESCOM was that we should be looking for a bigger transformer in terms of the capacity. And that has been done on the, it's in the process of procurement, the new one. That's number one. Number two, in terms of consequence management, on the four employees that were singled by the SIU report, all of them have had a second session on the disciplinary hearings. And of course, once you charge a person, you then allow the process of DC to take its course. And you know, many of employees will try that trick and that trick on ensuring that their cases take time. But all four of them were officially charged, that were fingered in the SIU report. That's what we have. The third element, Chair, it's on the issue of panic buying. During COVID, if there was one thing that South Africa could not manage to control, it's issue of availability. That's why service providers would offer Province A on the basis of knowing history of Province A on taking time on paying, they withdraw their offer and give to Province B. By that time, panic buying was informed by availability. Should you get an offer as a province? Thank you very much, Chair.
The real chair is Honorable Khosho, who can say now, who comes in.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. I will invite MEC for Social Development, MEC Boitumelo Moiloa. MEC Moiloa, please come in.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Khosho, Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, including the Provincial Portfolio Committee that are in the platform. Chair, I must say that in terms of the dignity, we call them dignity packs. The reason why we call them dignity packs, you'd remember that we were saying they are sanitary towels, but then we have included soap, toiletry in actual fact. That is why now we are now saying they are dignity packs. So when we talk dignity packs, the honorable member was saying, why can't we have them in public spaces? Honorable member, we as the Department of Social Development, we don't have that budget that will buy dignity packs for all South Africans. What we do in the Northwest, we profile those who are in need of them, because we know there are other community members who are able to buy themselves those packs. We collaborate with the Department of Education in making sure that we provide them either at schools, but we're also not concentrating on schools only. We're also concentrating on those community members who are not working, who are not attending schools. So that is why we call them the dignity packs, because it includes a toiletry. So as for the budget, we will not be able to put them in public places. I understand what you're saying, that like condoms, why can't we put a sanitary towels in all the public spaces? We don't have that budget for that. If we had budget, we actually would like to put them everywhere where any other person can get them. So we are not able to do that, but we are working in collaboration with the Department of Education, which is also providing for school learners. On the empowerment and or on the companies that were appointed during that time, there was a time when the province asked us to give names of companies which were provided with business during that time. And if the honorable member would like to have the portfolio committee, actually would like to have that, then I don't think it's a problem, as the department will be able to give out that list of companies which benefited during that time. And the support that we have given to our people at that time, we were going through the province. As honorable members will remember that it was hard lockdown. Everybody was not supposed to be on the streets. So we were going house to house. We were able to give those who are in need of these the packages. We were able to give them food. So for now, that support is still there, but we are profiling. We are not giving everyone. Because that time, you would remember that even those who were selling at the street, they were not allowed to go to street to sell anything, whether it's the street vendors, they were not allowed to do that. So we were also giving them food. But for now, because they are able to go and do their businesses, we are profiling those ones who are in need of social relief of distress. That's how we are doing it now. Not like when we were dealing with it during COVID-19 or hard lockdowns. So for now, we are profiling. And if we have profiled a family that is in need of social relief of distress, that's when our social workers will be able to give them the social relief of distress in the form of a food package. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Honorable Khosh.
No, thanks, Honorable Milo. Honorable Chair, we didn't have any question from education. However, I would invite the MEC for education, as because they've gone to detail. If you go through the addendums, the attachments on education, you can see specifics in terms of the education report. We had shared that with the members of the portfolio committee. If MEC Matsimela, I would also wish you to come in just to summarize on the specific cases that you had, the department had completed, and the ones that are in progress.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khosho, our chair for today's meeting. Equally, let me greet the chairperson of the portfolio committee and all other honorable members who are on this platform. I really appreciate that you have managed to take us to Cape Town within a wink of an eye. Chair, indeed, you are correct about the issues that have been raised by honorable members, because we need to provide clarity on other issues that have confronted us, be it matters that will have a bearing to corruption or to any other matter that the government is not about. We, as the Department of Education, indeed followed what the Public Finance Management Act is talking about in terms of irregularities, in terms of fruitless expenditure, and all other sorts of issues. Therefore, consequence management accordingly have unfolded, and we are having a progress registered, Honorable Chair, the two chairs who are here, in terms of the non-compliance legislation relating to the supply chain management. For instance, 34 officials who conducted business with the organs of the state were detected by the AG, and the investigations followed thereafter. Primarily, of this 34 cases, 25 have been finalized, and the CFO and also the director of supply chain management have been dismissed from the Department of Education, given also what the Special Investigation Unit have picked about the Department of Education. I want to say, as I close, Chairperson, you are right that we are having a report that clearly says who's been involved and what has been done thereafter to each case affecting each individual. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, MEC Matsimela. You've given the details. Chair would still submit a comprehensive report of all the departments, especially around education, as well as Department of Health, as how and especially on the question raised by Honorable Funebat, I think to give more details. I would now, I'm not sure whether MEC Mika is on the platform. I saw her message, Chair, as I was presenting, that she's having a connection problems. I hope that she was able to connect, because she's the MEC for COGSTA, for cooperative governance in the province, to respond to the issues raised by Honorable Matumba and also, I think it's Honorable Kaba, who asked the questions around local government, and also Honorable Msima. I'm not sure, MEC Mesa, are you on the platform to give a clarity on issues that has been raised before I come in from provincial treasurer point of view? Honorable Mika? It looks like Honorable Mika is not yet on the platform, because she did indicate that she's having connectivity problems, and but she said that she is looking in. I also tried to call a few minutes ago. So maybe in the absence of MEC Mika to give responses and clarity, I would as MEC for Provincial Treasurer respond. However, I must indicate to honorable members that I'm also part of the governance cluster committee in the province, and that deals with also local government, among other components of cooperative governance, where the MEC for COGTA is the chairperson. So I'm the member of the cluster, but also the premier has through EXCO mandated three MECs to take responsibility, to follow through and engage with various municipalities where there are instabilities. So I will try also to cover areas that we've worked as the three MECs led by MEC Mika as the MEC for COGSTA, MEC Provincial Treasury, and the MEC for Public Safety, MEC Lehar. So we are the three members that we continuously update EXCO in terms of challenges in municipalities. I think maybe I must firstly start at Matosana just to while MEC Mika has not yet connected, but maybe she will also bring some additions if at the time where she connects. I hope that the HOD I've seen the HODs on board, and then she can be also able to brief the MEC to be able to give clarity. Issues of panic fighting were responded to by MEC some, but I'll not get to that, but I'll go straight to my concern in terms of the SIU report in relation to that on the PP investigation. As you can recall, honorable members, the report implicated four officials. And among those officials was also the CFO, who have resigned before the report was issued. Hence, the disciplinary process could not be fully implemented. However, the DC process against the two officials is still ongoing for the Stortlek, and for one of the officials who's in the Stortlek is concluded. And then we don't have an update because I'll rely on MEC Mika to give us that update as to how far have they gone in making sure that that is implemented. The JB Max, I think with the JB Max municipality, that was raised by honorable members as well on the on JB Max, we can recall that we had the CFO and the FMM who was taken through the DC, and there is a case that is still on in respect of that. And then the MM case was concluded, and so it has to be implemented through council. So because JB Max is not here, would not be able to tell us exactly how far have they gone as the new administration, but I know that the report is with them. The MEC would also be able to, if the MEC is already logged in, she will also have to assist us with the final details. I think honorable members, like Chair, you indicated that they have also raised broadly the challenges of instability within municipalities. And among those municipalities that honorable members have raised is having challenges where you have two MMs and two CFOs, even troikas, two mayors and speakers. We had continuous engagements through the MEC COCTA with the municipalities, and the municipalities that we focused on was Kagisano Molopo and Lekwa Taimani, Disobota, Mamusa, and I think those are the ones that had serious challenges in respect of councils that were unstable. The report that we would want to share, and then we can bring also a comprehensive report in respect of that, the work that has been done through this subcommittee of the EXCO, of the work that has been done. Maybe I can start with Kagisano Molopo. With the Kagisano Molopo municipality, the MM did take us to court because as part of the consequence management, we then requested National Treasurer to withhold the equitable share for both Kagisano Molopo and Ditsobotla. Because in Kagisano Molopo, you had councils that, two councils, parallel councils, that actually was not even able to adopt the budget of council. And as a result of that, we could not agree that equitable share be transferred because we're not able to know who has approved the budget. And there were also the matters that were sitting in court as to actually the council that adopted the budget was not the legitimate council. So there were all those challenges and in court between the two councils. Hence, we had recommended jointly together with COCTA that the National Treasurer to withhold the equitable share. However, there was a court settlement in the last 3 weeks where National Treasury was the first respondent and the Provincial Treasury was the second respondent. The National Treasury had agreed with Kagisano Molopo to release the equitable share, and that was released with the conditions. Part of the conditions were that there must be proof, and they must demonstrate that the council that adopted the budget was properly constituted and was a legitimate council. However, there's still a matter, there's a judgment that is still outstanding in the court. I was told that it was supposed to be out on the 26th, but now I think it will be around sometime this month, that also where the original council that started the administration had gone to appeal the part of the outcomes of the judgment, the original judgments in terms of the MM transacting on that council because of the which is the right council that should be able to process the budget. So there are those issues of adoption of the budget. But the National Treasury then has released the equitable share in line with the judgment that we must settle out of court through National Treasury and Kakisano Moloko. So there is that, but there is still the challenges of the two councils that needs to be clarified. And that is the matter that MEC, MEFA will also be able to update us in that respect. Coming to the Sobotla municipality, the Sobotla last week, Honorable, we did also propose that the equitable share must be withheld. And in the process, there was intervention through COPTA as well. Last week, we got the report on Friday that the council did sit and then was able to put a properly constituted council with the mayor, the speaker, and the whip of council and the exco committees. And if I'm not mistaken, I think today, Chair, or tomorrow, the council will have there will be a sitting of council to appoint the MM. Remember, part of the challenges in Ditobata that we were sitting also with two MMs who were fighting over also the account of the municipality at APSA. They've even went where the APSA also has drawn this concerns to our attention. And we then have that also informed why we proposed that we recommended to Mr. Trev to withdraw the equitable share. And as we speak now, there is a council, a properly constituted council, where you have one speaker, one mayor, and the exco committee. And now that the two municipalities that were actually working against each other wanted to transact on the account of the municipality, their term actually also lapsed in the process. So now it gave council time to be able to appoint a new MM, an acting MM. And the report that the MEC for COCTA is sitting with, they had requested that there must be a second man from the COCTA department, which the MEC did. We, on our discussions over the weekend, she did confirm that she has received the letter and she will be giving the department a second man. And that the council will sit either today or tomorrow. The MEC for COCTA will be able to confirm that, where they will now appoint the acting MM. In Mamusa, if I must indicate, maybe if I get to Mamusa, also with this Sobotla, honorable members, this Sobotla is part of the municipalities in the country. If you recall that the cabinet has resolved on the financial recovery, implementation of financial recovery plans in line with section 1395 of the constitution, and you read it together with chapter 13 of the MFMA. So of those 43 municipalities that the cabinet had resolved on, municipalities that are in financial distress, Ditobata is one of those municipalities, and where actually also as the MM is going to be appointed, then afterwards a provincial treasurer together with COCTA will be working together on a comprehensive support program on the implementation of the financial recovery plan, because those are municipalities that are continuously have adopted financial and unfunded budget over years, hence they are where they are in terms of the financial state of the finance. And that has happened over since from 2015 financial year, where municipalities continuously adopted the unfunded budgets, which as a result of that, they are not able to provide basic services to the communities. So once the acting MM is appointed by the municipality, the Sobotla municipality, the MM will then, with the support of both the COCTA and provincial treasury, communicate with national treasury so that the equitable share is then released, and then they can start to transact. And also the issues of implementation of the financial recovery plan. There was already a team, but we had to withdraw the team as provincial treasury because of the instabilities and the fights between the two councils, because we didn't even know who to engage with at the provincial treasury level. So that has been resolved. And I think going forward together with MEC COCTA, we'll be able to do that. And part of those municipalities that are in financial distress, Honorable Chair, includes your Mamusa municipality, where there were challenges of, I think, the CFO and also the MM, and there's now the acting MM seconded by COCTA. And then there is the work that is being done in terms of providing support in that respect to ensure that also Mamusa implement the financial recovery plan, because it's part of those 12 municipalities in the province that has been in a financial crisis status, and then they continue to adopt the unfunded budget, which actually, in terms of Section 139 of the Constitution, it's a mandatory intervention. If you look into the Section 139 intervention, it's all internet. By the way, you arrive at that point where the Section 154 of the Constitution has already been exercised through COGTA, but also on various departments on the support that they have provided. And the ones in municipality is at that point where even their own internal financial recovery plan has not worked. Now, provincial treasury through national treasury mandate directive, because it's a directive of the Minister of Finance, that we are able to start to invoke Section 1395 of the Constitution together with the Chapter 30, which talks to Section 139 of the MFMA up to 140, if we have all members to have to read it. That tells us the process that needs to be followed in implementation of that. So Mamusa has been one of those municipalities, together with Lekwa. Lekwa, recently there was a motion of no confidence against the mayor, and I think Honorable Mutumba, if I'm not mistaken, was the one who raised the issues of the motion of no confidence, the challenges in, or it was Honorable Kreza, also the challenges of the mayor who has hired a car vehicle with exorbitant expenses that were incurred by the municipality. By the way, the municipality that municipality that is in financial distress. The matter, I think, was followed through MEC COPTA as well, and we will be able to give the update. But I know that there has been the MEC for COPTA went to the municipality last week. I'm not sure whether Thursday or Friday, but he has also intervened in that respect to make sure that we start to respond to the challenges of the municipality itself. But the issue of stabilizing as well, we've been faced with that to support those municipalities. Chair, I want also just to maybe, if in this process, also talk to generally the question that was asked by, I think it's Honorable Mpumza, where he indicated that the role that we have played with provincial treasury together with COGTA in supporting municipalities, and municipalities are still in the same situation. Chair, like I've indicated, that the 43 municipalities in the country that are in financial distress, 12 of them are in the Northwest. So the Northwest, the reality is that we are holding the red flag in terms of municipalities that are adopting unfunded budgets. Hence, we started that comprehensive plan support on in response to a cabinet resolution and EXCO resolution to mandatory intervention, invoke mandatory intervention. Mandatory intervention does not take powers of council. It needs to assist municipalities to start to develop and implement financial recovery plans. So that has been done, and we are now in the implementation phase. We will be working together with the new councils as well of that. But it must indicated from provincial treasury point of view, Chair. Since last year, we have reviewed our structure, organogram as a department, and we realized that we need to provide support in the four districts in our province. And we have now done district services in terms of our structure. It has a district services type of a structure, whereby we have started to appoint district directors in the four districts. Your Kenneth Kaunda, Dr. Ruth Sikumuti Mumpati, Yongaka Mujiromlema, and Bojanala, where you have districts that are responsible to focus on those municipalities. And they also have 3 to 4 experts, but from time to time are being supported by the provincial treasury team to start to provide focus, deliberate focus on those municipalities. And those directors, 4 of them have already been appointed in the 4 districts, and they are working directly with the municipalities. From time to time, since last year after we appointed, with our sessions that we had from time to time with municipalities, we've been introducing those directors so that municipalities know exactly who are their relevant and to support personnel from provincial treasury point of view. We have not yet moved them to the district physically so that we operate from there. We need to sort out the issues of office space, but also with the budget, limited budget, we are still looking at how can we into our budget in making sure that your district director and the team, they must locate in Freiburg at Harunat Building. Your KK, just like that, Bojanala has moved. We had an office, so they have immediately moved. They are now in the base in Rustenburg, and also the Kakenek down that they're still working from Mafikeng. But we are on the process of making sure that those directors would start to, they are now being deployed in different districts to provide that support on daily basis to municipalities. The work that we have done with the municipalities since 2019, Chair, we have worked on a training program and support program on contract management to make sure that there are punitive measures in terms of that. And then contract management is part of the areas that we indicate that is observed in terms of our assessment, and we ensure that municipalities start to respond to that. I must acknowledge that there are still challenges. With the support that we provided, there is still deepening challenges in the municipalities. And the MEC COCTA is also bringing other programs, you know, just to make sure that monitoring of that is continued. Part of the monitoring from provincial treasury point of view, our midterm assessment, budget assessment, and continuous engagement with municipalities. With the midterm budget assessment, normally, Chair, what we do, we are also asking municipalities to give us the 10 risk areas in terms of making sure that there is stability in council, but also from compliance issues. And risk management has been identified as part of the areas and that are not properly managed. Your management of your UIFW is also part of the challenges that are not done properly. Implementation of the findings of the public protectors report, I mean, in Jisobota, there are still all those challenges in terms of that, and also the SIU report. So these are the areas that we've observed, and then we have also done a plan that can follow through our district directors to make sure that departments are able to comply in that respect. So from our side, also the other training that we did with the newly elected administration on the M-score compliance, so that councillors are able to conduct oversight over administration. We have had district training programs on M-score system and the training, so they start to councillors are able to understand the complexity of the M-score system, and then so that as and when the mayor tables a Section 71 report, at least we are able to are able to ask questions that are relevant as councils. So we have done training to MPEG members, MMCs or EXCO members on finance. So we have provided that support in that regard as capacity. Yes, Honorable Mpunza is right, there are still challenges, and we are not dispute those challenges deepening, but these are historical challenges that have been there that we are trying to grapple with at our level under the leadership of MEC of COCTA, as the responsible two MECs to support the municipalities and to ensure that we improve the system. On the audit as well, we will be starting through the Accountant General's a support program. And this support program, honorable members, it has worked because since the audit outcomes in 2021, we established through the Accountant General Office, we established a process or a system that provides support and work together with the departments, because we are still under Section 100. And we have seen that has yielded the results, because the audit outcomes, you can see that has also improved. The audit count comes through your health and public works there, and they have reduced in terms of the number of audit findings that has been raised by the Auditor General. We are now then replicating that into local government, and it's the work that we are still doing through the MFMA unit, and we'll start to implement that in going forward. With the municipalities, and they will identify such municipalities in terms of the ones that are disclaimer, unqualified and qualified opinions. So it's the work that we also are looking at the framework to finalize it and to implement it at local government. On supply chain, we have done training we launched it in 2019. Unfortunately, as a result of COVID-19 pandemic, we could not proceed. But now, since last year, under level 5, we started to continue with training of officials within SCM. And I must indicate, I think they've completed their course. It was a certificate program, which we partnered with the universities and the service provider. We are now engaged with universities to provide the second layer of that training with the same officials from various municipalities to strengthen and professionalize a supply chain within a local government. So it's a work in progress there, and then we are trying also to bring more other programs to support, especially to support municipalities, especially during the implementation of the financial recovery plan. However, we are not overlooking other municipalities that also need to be focused on, the 8 municipalities in the province, whereby we must consistently provide that support through Section 154 and to support program. So let me pause at that, and then I hope that MEC Micha is on the platform, if she can be able to add, if you allow me, Chair, so that if there's any issue that we've not responded to, we can be reminded of. MEC Micha?
Okay, no, thanks very much, Honorable MEC LGB, and to your good self, Chairperson, my deepest apology that I just logged in. I found the Honorable MEC already responding on questions. Just to add on the issue of Kagisano Molopo, we are in fact at a point where we will be tabling some proposals to the Executive Committee for resolution, because we've been dealing and finding to intervene in the situation of Kagisano Molopo for some time, and we think the issue of the division of the municipal council is not just coming to an end, and therefore we'll table some proposals to the Executive Council of the province for finalization, and also proposing also towards the minister and the NCOP as per the process requires. Also, in just in addition, in terms of Disobotla local municipality, indeed, we have already signed out a support in terms of Section 154, where we have deployed or seconded an acting municipal manager in that municipality. He started yesterday, and council will then be convened to formally introduce the acting municipal manager. Part of the terms of reference of that acting municipal manager is to ensure that he develops a plan of ensuring that we are then appoint senior managers, but also appoint the municipal manager in that municipality. In terms of Mamusa, also I must indicate that we have signed out, I think 3 months back, signed out an acting municipal manager in terms of the Section 154 as the support, and already have given us a plan in terms of ensuring that the municipality is able to fill in positions of senior managers in that municipality. One other municipality that we have supported in terms of that section is Madibeng local municipality, and also JB Marks local municipality. Indeed, we must indicate that the challenge of Lekwatemane local municipality, we are on it, and we have requested also the municipal manager to also give a report in terms of the challenge of a car that has been used or rented for the mayor, as we get the report. And as soon as that report has been presented before us, we'll then update the committee and also the 3-member committee of the province that has been appointed to intervene in the municipalities. What we seek, we also have done as part of the support, because we have realized that there's a challenge in terms of the internal audit committees of the municipalities, and we have said we have a program that seeks to strengthen that area of the municipalities. Also, we have trained the MPEC committees and also portfolio committees working together with Treasury and also SALGA in this regard. What we think is the program that will continue to also roll is that one of training all other councillors in ensuring that there's understanding in terms of legislation that governs local government. But that will also include leadership, because we have realized that much of what creates a challenge of division is lack of leadership of many of the councillors that we have in our different municipalities, and therefore need to make an intervention also as the department in that area. I think to a large extent, Honorable MEC has responded on the issue of Matlosana and JB Marks, which also have challenges in terms of the audits as indicated by the AG, which also is from
part of what we are monitoring and ensuring that investigations that are continuing gets to be concluded, and therefore reports will also be given soon as those reports or investigations are done. I think those were the additions I wanted to make on what Honorable MEC LGP has presented before the committee. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable members, I think the last question that could have been directed to the Portfolio Committee administration was this apology by municipalities for not coming in here. I'm informed by our administration that a session with the municipalities of the Northwest that could not be here is scheduled for the 20th of September. But I'm sure the Executive Council members have tried as much as is possible to give us a picture of what is happening insofar as municipalities there. I'm sure then that session would be allowing us to make a follow-up. So that was the response from our administration. I can take hands that want to follow up on the responses that have been given. I may not be sure if the hands are the old ones or new ones, but I see Honorable Kabanchaba as the first one, Honorable Mbumza as number two, Honorable Teza number three, Honorable Grunewald number four, and Honorable Matumba number five.
I the old one, Chair.
It's an old one. That one falls off. Honorable Mbumza, is that an old one? Can I assume Honorable Mbumza is the old one?
Old hand, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Teza.
It's legacy hands, Chair.
Oh, okay.
No, but it's fine, Chair. I'm responded to, but however, I'm not answered to. The first thing that I would like to highlight in terms of Honorable M. Khosho, the MEC, is that a genuine advice is that the Portfolio Committee wouldn't want to hear issues of emanating from yourselves as a department that you have historical challenges. What we want to get to is the commitment that you make at this particular time of your watch. Those challenges you inherited, meaning that we get responses on commitment, the time frames on the matters, apart from the consequences, but time frames themselves, date and time. That's the genuine advice that I'm giving in terms of that. But in terms of that response that we got from health, I mean, Chair, there are things called SDPs that are processes that entail a distribution of condoms in public spaces. There entailed is the question of accessibility and acceptability, because there's one you only access it when you distribute it, which means that there is a reactionary program that happens as a result of you distributing it. If I adopt a school chair now and distribute and don't have money to distribute next month, what is it that is in
engraved in me to put sustainable measures to ensure that these children get this particular, not children, not talking about children that do not need it. I never mentioned it. Teachers know who to distribute. They know. Besides that, you know very well who is unemployed and who is, I'm assuming you know, there is a data of unemployment in the municipality. There are councillors who know each ward, who is disabled and so forth. That data, I'm assuming, is in place. But there are prevention strategies, meaning that a strategy is where you want to go, but a tool to get there, you know? Tools that you use to get there are tactics that you use. What tactics that are you using to actually ensure, apart from money that you are mentioning and things like that, there is a, in cooperative governance, there is interaction between departments in terms of the need that must be addressed in terms of restoration of dignity of the girl child. That is the center of what I'm trying to chase, Chair. And again, on that issue of the clinic, I just wanted to ask the time frame again in terms of the implementation of the completion of that project, because we've got to know what is the time frame there. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Groenewald, is that an old hand?
No, Chairperson.
Are you speaking?
Chairperson, you've marked me as fourth, but I will go if you give me the opportunity.
Please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, thank you for the MECs and the feedback they give us as well. Just in terms of COCTA, I think it will, us as a committee meet on a regular basis with the province. So I want to ask all those reports that she's talking about, as well as the SIU report and the consequent management report, if we can have it as a committee by the 20th of September when we meet with them again. I think that will assist the committee, firstly. Secondly, I want to, we've talked about training within the meeting in terms of MPAC and MSCOVA. I was present at both, and I want to ask the MEC, especially on COCTA, what is the, who approved the content of those, can I say, training? I know the MSCOVA training was quite set out well and understandable for all councillors to understand. So I just want to see in terms of the impact training, I think there's more needed in terms of the impact training. And then for the MSC of education, MSC, we talk a lot about the welfare of the children within schools, but we usually leave behind the teachers that's in the school. The Northwest Province do have a lot of teachers that's been appointed on a temporary basis for over the last 2 years already. Can you give us a report in terms of how many teachers is being employed by the department on a temporary basis, and when will they be actually appointed in full time? We must understand that if a teacher is not appointed in full time with the department, they do not have access to certain things like medical aid and those things. So I want to ask in terms of that, when will those people be appointed? There's temporary people that's more than 2 years already on temporary, and I cannot see how that can be correct in terms of labor law as well. So Chairperson, that will be from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Matumba.
Thank you, Chair. You see, Chair, I raised what I raised because if ever we will never deal with corruption or UIF if we don't see to it that members of council or councillors know the consequences of not acting or doing their job. Because councillors just go to council without reading council documents. And as the result, that's where corruption and all this thing pass through. Because why do we have a report that is telling us that poor quality workmanship on installation of water, what is being raised by Auditor General? Where is the report by Section 79 Committee? Where is the report by MPEC? Because there is quarterly report on implementation of the budget, and from that quarterly report, there must be a oversight mechanism that takes place through oversight, Section 79 Oversight Committee. We don't have those. Chair, Section 32, subsection 4, if the MM must inform the mayor, MEC of UIF that took place, and also show who is responsible for that UIF, and who is under investigation for such, and also steps that were taken to recover and steps that were taken to make sure that there is no recurrence of such. We don't have such a report. So if ever we are not going to act on politicians for UIF and corruption that is taking place in the municipality, I'm telling you, we will never ever fight UIF. It will always recur, because management will be recycled, but politicians will remain as the ones who are supposed to do oversight and do not do oversight on such. Because we should have been having MPEC recommendations on Ngakamudire Molema, on spending of COVID funds for non-COVID purposes. We should have been having such. Lastly, Chair, everywhere you go, in every tavern, you are going to find condoms. Condoms are everywhere. And the other thing about condom is that when you are taking them, no one see you. They are put in such a way, even when you go to toilets, condoms are there. But why not the same? Why doesn't the same apply with sanitary towels or pads? Because it cannot be that we supply condoms, but we don't give women sanitary towels. Condoms, we are supplying them for males and females. And we can't be told about the stories of those who can afford and those who can't afford. Even condoms, there are many people who can afford to buy them, but we keep on supplying them everywhere. So it must be the same with sanitary towels. They must be provided in public spaces, and they must be provided in such a way that those who collect them, we protect their dignity by putting them in a place that we don't even see who is collecting them. If we are to raise, if the department is to raise the issue of funds, they must tell us, what steps did they take to secure funds? Now, they should be telling us, we went to Treasury, this is our plan, and this is how we want to distribute sanitary towels. And by now, they should have been telling us that now that we don't have funds, we are doing, we have targeted schools in deep rural areas, and this is how we are distributing from the little that we have. Because it can't be there. We are having learners that are not going to school because they do not have money to buy sanitary towels. And the issue of identifying these people is simple, like what Honorable Teresa said. Those who are collecting child grants, we must know these people are poor. Those who are living in RDPs, who qualified for RDPs, we must know those people are poor. So we have the database of poor people who require these things, and we really have to give our people sanitary towels the same way we are giving our people condoms. You know, going on periods is not a choice. It's a natural thing. That it's a must that we give women sanitary towels. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you very much. Honorable Hosho, I will again hand over to you to guide as to how do we deal with the follow-up questions. And as we do so, I would also like to indicate that we are almost concluding the meeting. So as members speak, they must also take note of that. So I will not allow any comebacks. So hence I'm saying let's allow that. The order would be yourself guiding those other members, and the other order would be we don't have experience of chairpersons of provincial portfolio committees joining our meetings in my presence. So I would also allow some comments from that chairperson so that we can hear that he can speak, and we are doing the same in terms of asking questions on behalf of the people. And then after that comment, I'm sure Honorable Hosho as well will then conclude. We close the meeting after that. Over to you, Honorable Hosho.
Thank you very much once more, Honorable Chair. Chair, I would still invite MEC Sambata to maybe respond on and to Honorable Kesa in terms of the clinic, and in terms, I think he was asking the timelines. We need to respond to the timelines in respect of that. And then I would request MEC Matimela and MEC Muizwa to come. Maybe MEC Matimela must give a report in terms of the grant, because there's a grant in terms of allocations. It's a dignitary pet grant, dignitary center pet grant that is being provided for all the education departments in the country. So as a part of the budget in terms of the framework, I think there's provision for that for schools. So MEC Matimela, I think, can just give a report on that. And then the MEC that can come after MEC Matimela to give how they've worked together in providing to supplement the work that has been done, but also MEC Mwila looking broadly into our communities, the work that has happened and the partnership that she has had during, especially during COVID, the lessons learned that in going forward she has now started to build them as part of the program in the social department. Yes, I think those are the issues. And then Chair, I will come at last. I'm not sure whether MEC Micha, you have anything to say, but so far I think in the May, the issue that has been raised was around education, social development and health. And MEC Matimela, as you come in, you'll also deal with the issue that MEC Hunefout has raised on the appointment of teachers, educators within the sector, especially in the Northwest Province. MEC Sambata, come in. If MEC Sambata maybe is not yet, and so I can see that I'm not sure whether it's still on the platform, Chair, yeah, we'll try to maybe can come back later. Let's get MEC Matimela. MEC Education can come in.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and further appreciate the questions that members have asked from the portfolio committee. Let me start with how to dignify. You are correct, Honorable Member, that this sanitary towels in a large extent is to dignify our girl learner child, so that when that time comes, at least the learner is not confused, and even the learner doesn't take a decision to stay away from our schools. Through the HIV and AIDS grant, honorable members, there's 70 million out of this grant that is dealing specifically with the sanitary towels, particularly in quintile 1, 2, 3 schools. We have managed, honestly, for the past years to unfold this program accordingly in our schools. And as I speak right now, given to it that we had issued a tender, the deliveries have arrived in the Department of Education. And indeed, Honorable Mwilwa is correct that we are complementing each other. However, I heard the honorable member very clear, Honorable Fikile, that this matter mustn't be treated, particularly from the social development point of view, as a once-off event. It must be a matter that government moving forward must think about it to a larger extent, that government must start to plan accordingly for these sanitary towers that will dignify our learners and also our young women or any other woman who is in that space in terms of the reproduction health, etc. So that is what we are doing about the grant. Secondly, Chair Honorable Groenewald have asked about the temporary teachers and what are we doing as the department moving forward in terms of making them permanent. There's a very clear resolution 18 of 2018. It says clearly a temporary teacher must not exceed 3 months in a school without being given a permanent appointment. We are, as the Northwest Department, honestly unfolding this program accordingly with that resolution. For instance, between January and July this year, we had 907 temporary teachers, and we managed out of 907 appoint 784 temporary teachers in those substantive posts. They are permanent, they have received their letters. So the others that are left outside the 907, Honorable Chair, number one, there are other factors that says you cannot appoint at this particular point. For instance, when a teacher is on an accouchment leave or on a maternity leave, that is not a substantive post. Therefore, some of these 200 plus, they were there on a relieving position and we cannot appoint them in a permanent post. And Honorable Chair, it is the intention of this department that moving forward, any other temporary teacher who qualifies to be appointed permanently before the end of October this year, because we held a meeting of the department with senior managers yesterday. Part of the issues on the agenda was this issue of temporary teachers. We have agreed that by October, if there are those who are not on a relieving post, they must be appointed permanently. So what I can proudly say, in the Northwest Province, we work and unfold the resolution accordingly because we cannot implement the curriculum without warm bodies on daily basis in our different schools. I think I have managed to respond to the issues that I have to respond to, Honorable Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matsimela, MEC Matsimela. MEC Mwilwa, kindly come in to add from as a social cluster. Yes, just come. You can come in, MEC Mwilwa.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I think MEC Matsimela has covered what we are doing in the province and also covered the fact that our collaboration is based on the grant that they are having. Social development, we don't have the grant set aside for dignity packs or sanitary towels. The reason we as social development now goes to communities, we have realized that in education, they are dealing with learners that are attending their schools. But our collaboration makes it possible for us to also go to broader communities. And honorable members are right. It's something that we have raised even in our MINMEC to say, you know, it can be, and we have been having that that conversation with our colleagues in the province to say, it can be that we have condoms everywhere, but we can't have the sanitary towels for our people who are not able to buy them, and we just keep quiet like that. That is why as social development, from time to time, we also collaborate with other stakeholders that are able to help us in supplying those sanitary towels to our communities who are in need of them. And we are actually agreeing to what the honorable members are saying, that we need to see how we can have a deliberate approach as government to say, as much as we are giving condoms free of charge, can't we then have a grant that is specifically not in education only, but also given to social development? And I must say, honorable members, in our province, is not only social development and education. We collaborate even with other departments. They are actually assisting in making sure that we cater for our people to have, to restore that dignity. So that's basically what I can say, that we are working together with education. MEC Matsimela is right. We are broadening the scope as social development, and in collaboration with other departments and stakeholders to make sure that we give to our needy people. And we are still pursuing that at MINMEC to say, the minister, can we have a grant specifically for social development to address those challenges? Thank you very much, MEC Hosh.
Thank you very much, MEC Mwilwa. MEC Sambata, are you back?
Thank you very much, LGB. The follow-up question on the time frame is that the service provided, given the Department of Health 4 to 6 weeks period on the turnaround time for the new bigger expected electricity transformer. It's 4 to 6 weeks. But what I think that I must do and make commitment to the honorable member is that, because you might find that there's been a problem in health where a clinic is built, yet there's not been budget for health technology or budget for staff. Next week, I'll visit the same clinic and check readiness for operationalizing so that we don't celebrate having only a building. We know that we do have a building. It has health technology budget. It has staff establishment. So I will do that by next week, which means availability of the transformer would then be only the technical component we need for electricity supply. That 4 to 6 weeks, I would go to check staff establishment and check health technology. That is expected to the clinic. Thank you very much, LGB.
No, thanks very much, MEC Sambata. Chair, just maybe to give and so the last bite on the responses before I do the conclusion, but I will just give the response. I think and Honorable Tasa and Honorable Krunabad, they've raised the issue of the report that needs to be submitted. I would say that will ensure that the reports actually get to your office. I was looking at the calendar. We can work that because we still have to interact through local government MEC, especially on the deadlines. And I think that by next week, we'll be able, before the 20th, as you have pronounced, we'll make sure that we submit such reports that are outstanding, especially on specifics in regard to the cases that has been done from COCTA site and started COCTA site to give a specific oversight or monitoring reports that they follow through in various municipalities that have been mentioned, especially also around Matosan. I think we will be able to avail that report in no time, Chair, because the report for departments are already with you. But if there are any follow-up questions, MEC and honorable members can still direct the questions to the relevant MECs through the Office of the Premier so that the Premier is able to consolidate that follow-up questions and then be able to ensure that there's the report that is also being lodged through your office. So we'll be able to do that. So I think that is from our side, the responses that we give. So we've noted the issues raised by Honorable Mutumba. He's quite right in terms of consequence management at the political level, especially councils. And we will be able maybe to give a report in terms of UIFW, the support that we are providing from a provincial treasury side, because normally when MTEC sit, we have now introduced a system that they must give us their schedule, and in giving provincial treasury their schedule, the district directors go and do the briefing to members of the MPEC to ensure that they're able to deal with the right issues and then start to drill into the questions that it can be able to start to deal with issues of consequence management as well as the political level. And issues of disciplinary boards also, we are monitoring that together with COCTA to make sure that all municipalities establish the boards, but also they get from, because they have established them that they are not functional. So those are the issues that we also observed from our side. So it's areas that we are working together with COCTA to ensure that we start to respond to that. So let me pause at that, Chair, and then I can hand over back to you, because there were not much issues that were raised around the COCTA, except that we commit that through ABC COCTA, we'll be able to give the report in no time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I now allow Honorable Aaron Motswana to say something about your observation of the meeting itself?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Going to be a follow-up meeting on the 20th, would gladly, as a committee, be able to join in and maybe make input on the presentation that has been made. The department, of course, through the leader of government business, will finish us also with the reports. Of course, we have interacted with some of the issues that have already been alluded here. And we have our own observations that we have made as a provincial committee. So, of course, we will then continue to engage on various matters in JB Marks and Matosana, Rato Local Municipality, and Yongaka Modiri Mulema. These are matters that the committee has always been vested with, including those that are from the department. So thanks, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. But we think that we should be able to fully participate on the follow-up meeting that will be held on the 20th of September.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. This actually concludes this meeting, but as already indicated, in fact, out of the discussions, we are also looking for some better ways of collaborating with the Chapter 9 institutions to help us improve our oversight. So we'll be working with the Auditor General. We have identified across the country some municipalities that have got repeat disclaimers. And I think we would want to see how best can we all collaborate to stop that. Would be working with the Auditor General to do so. We have identified a number of municipalities across the country, and I'm sure Northwest would be part of that. I'm not sure if it is related to the meeting of the 20th of September, but we are starting in the Eastern Cape, and then we'll proceed to other provinces from there. And critically, MSC Hosho, we want to see how provincial treasuries can positively impact. I think you have updated us already on what you are doing in the Northwest. So for us, lessons that we learn in any province, we want to extend it to others. But we want to insist that provincial treasuries can play a critical role in reversing this together with COGTA, depending on which province we are in. So in those meetings, when we invite, the intention would be to say, how do we make sure that this thing comes to an end? Because these are public funds that we are talking about where people can't account for them. And I think we need to send one message across the country that it is not possible for people to spend public funds. And when they are called to account, they are unable to do so. So we don't understand, but equally, because we might be talking here in Cape Town, and don't understand what is happening on the ground there. But those sessions will take place. But this one, let me say thank you very much for coming first, sharing information. I'm sure members of the portfolio committee, despite whatever reservations, we have also learned something out of the session. And I'm sure we'll be better public representatives from this meeting, and would also better understand what the executives are doing to make sure that there's proper response to the needs of the people. Otherwise, the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Honorable
Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Bye-bye, colleagues.
Bye-bye.